O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Or as the Message renders that same psalm, God, brilliant Lord, yours is a household name. Nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk and silence atheist babble. I look up at your macro skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry, moon and stars, and mounted in their settings. Then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? Yet we've so narrowly missed being gods, bright with Eden's dawn light. You put us in charge of your handcrafted world, repeated to us your Genesis charge, made us stewards of sheep and cattle, even animals out in the wild, birds flying and fish swimming, whales singing in the ocean deeps. God, brilliant Lord, your name echoes around the world. In case you haven't noticed, this week is Master's Week, as most probably have. It's especially important in Georgia, since, of course, it happens in Georgia, this, quote, tradition like no other. If you've been watching it all, how many times have you heard that statement already? You know, for years, I don't even know how long, I probably should have looked it up, but for years there have been honorary starters, what we might refer to as the old guys, right, who really don't play anymore. And this year, as it has been for a few years now, it was Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, and Tom Watson. Three men who, let's just say, they made an impact on the sport of professional golf. And when their names come up, not just them, but when the names of those men come up, we'll hear superlatives such as great, such as super, such as peerless, such as unlike any other, matchless. And I've heard actually some of those words this week, not just to describe them, but actually to describe other people who play that sport so well. And so I spent some time in the dictionary thinking about words that describe God, or at least the best that we can do with human language. And so supreme, highest in rank, authority, quality, or importance. Peerless, having no equal, better than all others of its kind. Unparalleled, having no parallel or equal, unmatched in comparison. Unique, being the only one of its kind, unlike anything else. Inimitable, impossible to imitate or copy due to uniqueness or exceptional quality. Unmatched, not equaled or surpassed by others. Unrivaled, having no rivals or competitors, superior to all others, and then majestic. And this list could have gone on. We can run out of words and never come close to defining or describing how great God is, but my list ends here with majestic. Having grandeur, dignity, or beauty that inspires awe or admiration. And so the psalmist opens and closes that Psalm 8 with the same phrase, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Or I like the way the message puts it, brilliant Lord. O God, brilliant Lord. Your name echoes everywhere in the world because it is a name that is so great. God's majestic name, the psalmist tells us, fills the earth. Just think about that for a minute. It opens and closes with that declaration that God's majestic name, it fills the earth, emphasizing not only his universal glory, but also his reputation that is unmatched, unrivaled, without peer. The psalmist goes on to say that God's glory is displayed in the heavens, pointing to the moon and the stars as the work of the very fingers of this great and majestic God, showing not only his creative power, but also the beauty of this amazing design, this amazing world that he himself has fashioned. The psalmist then lowers his gaze to fellow human beings and describes how God is one who uses weakness to display strength. And we see that throughout Scripture, do we not? God using weakness in order to display strength as he ordains praise even from the mouths of children and from infants, demonstrating his power, his perfect power through what the world might consider something small and even insignificant. And the psalmist says that God is mindful of that humanity. What is man? What is humanity? He asks that you are mindful of him. As vast and incomparable and immeasurable as is God's created universe, the psalmist declares that God cares deeply still for human beings, the pinnacle of his creation, highlighting God's personal love and attention for us. And then he goes beyond that and says that God gives humanity honor and responsibility, that God crowns humanity with glory, that God entrusts humanity with stewardship over his creation, showing his generosity, his hospitality, and his purposeful design. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Or as Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 12, you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that it is his name that is exalted. Or later in the Psalms, from where we were reading just a moment ago, Psalm 113, the Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens. Scripture shows over and over again that God's greatness is beyond measure, that his understanding is limitless, that God's power is displayed in his creation from the highest heavens to the deepest depths of the seas. And Scripture declares as well that God is sovereign and God reigns over all nations and all the earth. It says that God's love, Keith just prayed this a moment ago from Psalm 51. God's love is steadfast and it endures forever. Scripture tells us that God is a refuge and strength, that he's always near in times of trouble. It also tells us and confirms for us that God's righteousness and His justice are the foundation of His throne. It tells us that God is the one worthy of continual praise and worship and honor, that God is compassionate and God is gracious and God is slow to anger, rich in mercy, that He provides for all of His creation, that He sustains life, that He meets needs, that His faithfulness continues through all generations, and that God is near. God is near to those who call on Him in truth. Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on earth." Or as another psalmist said, right near the end of the Psalter, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon." Start to name some of those hosts, right? "Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together and older men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near to Him. Praise the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is Your name in all the earth." And here's a thing that you already know, that this God who is supreme, who is peerless, who is unmatched, unparalleled, unrivaled, unique, inimitable and majestic, that God is the one who came near to save. That God came near to save. How do you respond to that? That God came near to save. How do we respond except to confess, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name"? For my sisters and brothers this morning who are Christians, who are immersed believers, when we came in faith, maybe we didn't use those exact words that the psalmist uses twice in Psalm 8. Maybe we didn't come down to the preacher or go to our parents or friend or our uncle or whoever it might have been that you went to or that I went to when that moment came and we realized that we needed Jesus Christ in our lives in order to be saved, that we needed to go to this God who came near. I doubt many of us just confess by saying, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." We probably just answered a question with a simple yes. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the risen Lord, the risen Son of God? And we said yes, or yes, I do. But you know what we were also saying with that confession? I bet you can guess. "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth," because it is that God who came near. It is that Son of God whom we confess.